He's risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome to the Easter service of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. I am Pastor Larry Oliver. While we are saddened that we cannot worship together today, which means that our sanctuary is empty, we can take great comfort in the knowledge that the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ is also empty. Beginning with Ash Wednesday, we have been using the metaphor of eyesight to examine how the various people in Mark's gospel viewed Jesus during his passion. Today, that metaphor continues as we see Jesus' resurrection through the eyes of the angel who announced that Jesus had arisen. Early on Easter morning, the angel, the word angel means messenger, announced what he knew to be true. The tomb was empty because Christ had risen. The women were initially overcome with fear, as anyone would be if they were confronted by a holy representative from God. Their physical eyes would not see our Lord until he revealed himself. But we have been given the angel's eyes, as it were, for by faith we see our Lord with us now. The news the angel proclaimed is too good to keep to ourselves, and so as God's messengers today, it is our turn to tell the world that he is risen indeed. Alleluia. As Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." And so this day we gather via technology and begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The Lord is God.
And he has made his light to shine upon us.
Okay. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, celebrate his resurrection, and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Therefore, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of our God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner."
Almighty God, be merciful to us sinners. Have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, live in our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened us to the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity, sharing the good news of the angel at your tomb through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading from Job, chapter 19. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with iron, pen, and lead they were engraved in a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The psalm for today is selected verses from Psalm 118. This is the Lord's doing. It's a marvelous in our eyes. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord exalts.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live.
And we count the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has disciplined me severely.
But he has not given me over to death. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Open to me the gates of righteousness.
That I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord.
The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark.
And saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb.
So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in,
he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in.
Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb.
He saw the linen cloths lying there.
And the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in.
And he saw and believed.
For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb.
And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus lay.
One at the head and one at the feet.
And they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this,
she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus.
Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples,
I have seen the Lord and told them all these things Jesus had said to her.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said in the opening of this service, this Lenten season we have been using the metaphor of seeing eyes. We have looked at the events of the Passion story through the eyes of some of the participants. We looked through the sleepy eyes of the disciples, the betraying eyes of Judas, the denying eyes of Peter and worldly eyes. And on Good Friday, we looked through the eyes of the three persons of the Trinity. So who's left? What eyes are there still out there that we might look through? Today, we look at the resurrection through the eyes of the angel. The phrase angel eyes may conjure up some different thoughts for different people. There have been many songs by that name. Some of you may remember the 1946 version by Ella Fitzgerald and Frank Sinatra. My generation will think of Curtis Lee, who sang a song of that name back in the 60s. In 1988, a ballad of the same name was released by Jeffrey Healey and his band. And listeners of country radio may be reminded of a 2012 song by a group called Love and Theft. There may be some dog lovers out there who think of a brand name called Angel Eyes, which is a product that clears up the tear stains around the eyes of dogs. But for right now, I want you to put all of those other kinds of angel eyes out of your mind and focus on the angel eyes from our text today. Those eyes saw the greatest sight this world has ever seen. The eyes of the Easter angel were the first to see Jesus' empty tomb. If you think about it, it's interesting that we call the tomb empty. St. Mark's account actually depicts the tomb as being a bit overcrowded on that first Easter Sunday. The two Marys and Salome were shocked to discover the large stone had been rolled away from the tomb, and they went inside to investigate. They were startled to find not a dead Jesus inside, but a young man dressed in white, the Easter angel of the Lord. Their fear was most likely twofold. First, they were distressed that Jesus' body was absent. But second, seeing God's angels might be a pretty frightening experience. Despite what you see in the figurines and artist's depictions, God's angels usually appear as majestic creatures who strike fear into the hearts of onlookers. That's why the first words out of the mouths of angels are often, "Don't be afraid." On Easter morning, this is exactly what happened. The angel says to the terrified women, "Do not be alarmed." And they didn't need to fear this angel either. He had come in peace to be the bearer of great news. The word we translate as angel means messenger. So bringing the gospel was this angel's main job. He announced that they didn't need to fear what had happened to the body of Jesus because Jesus had risen. The angel continues, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." The angel directed the women to look with their own eyes and to see that Jesus was no longer there. And then he explained what his own eyes had witnessed. He knew they were looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. That Greek word can also be translated the crucified one. There is great significance here. The women had gazed upon Jesus suffering for the sin of the world under his father's wrath on the cross. They had looked on as Joseph of Arimathea buried Jesus. But that's all they had seen. The angel, however, had seen the resurrected Jesus with his own eyes. Yet he still calls him the crucified one. Later that afternoon, Jesus appeared to 10 of his apostles where he proved his identity by showing them the nail scars on his hands and the wound in his side where he had been pierced by the spear. The next Sunday, Jesus invited doubting Thomas to touch those scars, which turned him into believing Thomas as he cried out, "My Lord and my God." Still later, St. Paul encountered the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus, and then wrote to the Corinthians, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." At this point, you might be thinking, this is Easter, so why are we so focused on the crucifixion? The answer is because the cross must always be the center of our theology, the focal point of our Christian life. A God who has not been crucified on your behalf would be of no value to us. Look through the angel's eyes and see that Jesus is the crucified one, put to death for your sins. The cross is our life. St. Paul wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And in Galatians he goes on, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." We certainly don't want to diminish the resurrection. Of course, it is essential too. You also need to see through the angel's eyes that Jesus was raised on Easter for you. Good Friday and Easter are like two sides of the same coin. You can't buy anything with a one-sided quarter. In the same way, Jesus couldn't pay for your salvation only by dying or only by living. He had to do both. He had to actively obey God's law on your behalf and passively suffer for your sins. He had to actively fight Satan, whom we certainly cannot defeat on our own, and die for all the times we have fallen for the devil's temptation. He had to go into the grave and deposit all of our sins there, but he also had to come out alive in order to grant you forgiveness of sins and his own righteousness. After his resurrection, Jesus continued the pattern of established on the first Easter by hiding himself from the sight of his disciples and by using angels to proclaim his death and resurrection. Though we are like the women at the tomb and cannot see Jesus with our own eyes, the reliable testimony of the Easter angel recorded in Scripture is precious gospel that you need to keep before your eyes at all times. Though Jesus remains hidden from our physical sight, he has continued to send us angels ever since his resurrection to testify to his presence among us. We're not talking about angels from heaven here, but earthly angels who proclaim the gospel. Remember that word angel simply means messenger. As used in the Bible, the word angel doesn't necessarily imply a heavenly being. The very human and mortal John the Baptist, for example, is called God's angel or messenger. After his resurrection, Jesus sent his apostles out to be angels, his messengers, to preach the gospel to the whole creation. And everywhere they went, those angel apostles appointed pastors and teachers to continue sharing the good news of Good Friday and Easter. Just as the heavenly angel Gabriel visited Mary with the wonderful news that the Lord was with her in the Incarnation, now earthly angels proclaim to all who believe and are baptized that the Lord Jesus is with them until the end of the age. Just as the angel of the Lord brought glad tidings of great joy for all people to the shepherds at Christmas, now earthly angels, people like you and me, proclaim the glad tidings of great joy that Christ has died for all, for the sin of the whole world, and has risen to declare all humans right with God so that they may be saved by believing his message. There was nothing particularly angelic about Christ's apostles then or about Christian pastors today. We are a pretty sorry lot indeed. Nobody would look at me and say he's got angel eyes. But what apostles and pastors of Christ do have are beautiful feet. Not literally, but both Isaiah and the Apostle Paul write, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." In other words, the footsteps of angels who preach the gospel to us are beautiful because they proclaim the beautiful message of Christ. Paul continues, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Today you hear this word of Christ through the wonder of technology from the pastor he has called to preach at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. For believers, that means for the sake of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Baptized into his death and resurrection, all who believe are clothed with his righteousness, which grants eternal salvation. It is true we don't see Jesus with us, but through his messengers, he announces that he has promised to be here, so we see him through the eyes of faith. When we are able to gather together in person again after receiving communion, we will sing, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. My own eyes have seen your salvation." But before that, we will look under the bread and the wine and worship Christ through angel eyes as we gather with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven around Christ's glorious throne. On that first Easter, the angel told the women where they could find Jesus. Likewise, today the message is the same. Jesus has promised that you may find him in his word and sacraments. May your eyes stay always fixed on Jesus Christ, crucified for your sin and raised for your salvation. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord and sharing his peace, let us pray to the Lord on behalf of ourselves and all people as they have need. We observe a brief time of silence for personal prayer. O risen Savior, set free our tongues to confess your resurrection before the world, still captive to sin and death. Give us courage to go to every place and to speak in every language the salvation won for us upon the cross, and the hope granted to us of life that death cannot overcome. Lord, in your mercy. O risen Savior, make us to burn with fire of your Holy Spirit that we may love you above all things and love our neighbors as ourselves. Deliver us from fear and relieve the anxiety of our hearts that we may live out fully the hope planted within us and the new lives that we have received in the waters of our baptism. Lord, in your mercy. O risen Savior, anoint the words of those who preach your gospel to us, and open our ears to hear with faith all that you have done to save us. Raise up many who will serve you in the various callings of your church, and who will serve us in your name with your words and gifts. Lord, in your mercy. O risen Savior, hear us on behalf of our President, our Governor, the Congress of the United States, and all state and local elected officials. Guide them according to your word, that their labors for our nation's health and welfare may not be in vain, nor forgetful of the vulnerable, aging, and unemployed. Show them the way to lead us through this pandemic. Lord, in your mercy. O risen Savior, hear us on behalf of those who cry to you in any need, especially the sick, the suffering, the disabled, the wounded in spirit, those who suffer mental illness, and those in their last days on earth. We pray especially for Dan, Dolores, Paula, Piper, Vern, Xavier, Tom, and Bob. Comfort all who cannot be with us today. Fred, Violet, Audrey, Weldon, Pat, Bonnie, Vi, Jackie, Dick, Shirley, Denny, and Karen. Give to each of these your grace according to their need, and sustain them in their afflictions to the day when their sufferings will be exchanged for the glory in the life to come. Lord, in your mercy. All praise to you, dear Heavenly Father in heaven, for you have opened up to us the way of eternal life in the resurrection of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Remind us of Job's words of solemn expectation, that you, our Redeemer, lives, that we too might be resurrected and glorified to live with you in him in your eternal kingdom, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of the Lord. The blessings of Almighty God, the Father who sent his Son to certain death in order to give us life, the Son who left the tomb empty on this day of his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit who graciously enables us to be messengers of the resurrection, be upon you now and forever. Amen. Once again, I want to thank Ann and Carrie Ann and Art for helping me out with these services. I'm sure you get tired of hearing my voice all by itself. I also want to offer a special thanks to Fran for keeping the altar pyramids in the correct colors. I think that's above and beyond. Ann and I have received several Easter cards wishing us a happy Easter. We return that wish to everyone who is listening. We want you to know that we miss you all very much. We look forward with great anticipation to the day when we can all be together once again. Speaking of that day, I'm already beginning to make preparations for that service, so if you have suggestions as to what that service might include, please let me know. Finally, we'd love to videotape these services. Unfortunately, that takes more time and staff than we have available, but do feel free to let us know how we can improve these online services. And now go in peace, serve our risen Lord.